It's the first day of May, 2022, in the year of our Lord. And on the first Sunday of each month, we have the Lord's Supper. Come to the Lord's table. So it is a special day for us here at Zion. And should be everywhere that they have the Lord's Supper if they know what it means. And what a blessing it is to be able to come to the Lord's Supper. Not a lot of places know they have it every now and then. Different churches do it at different times. The Lord Jesus should be exalted always at every service. The Lord Jesus is exalted in the Scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about the Son of God. Every bit of it is about the Son of God. It's about the Father also, and it's about the Spirit of the living God also. But it's always about the Son of God, who saves men from their sins. And again, this week, I'll say the same thing that I said at the beginning of last week. Praise God, brethren, for this time that we live in. I know that from time to time, I am bad about chasing rabbits and getting off on governmental things and worldly things that have an effect on our nation. And maybe I should not do that behind the pulpit, save that for our conversations outdoors, but for the Lord Jesus is to be exalted always. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ should be preached always. And we have much opportunity these days, as Noah did in his day, to preach the gospel everywhere we go. And to all that we meet concerning the coming judgment of God on this wicked, defiled, and corrupt nation. We have much opportunity to declare the goodness and the mercy of our God on all that will fall before Him and plead for their eternal souls. Obey Him, follow Him, lean upon Him, and trust Him for their eternal salvation. But damnation and misery upon all that will not heed to His commands and calls. Yes, we should fear Him who rules over all. Now, Christian folks should never fear the judgment of God coming upon them, but they should fear the punishment or the discipline of God that will come upon them who will not follow His commands and keep His words. And I know there's a lot of preachers and so-called prophets and end-day preaching going on these days that the Lord's coming back soon. It may not be time for the second coming of Christ. Even though the judgment of Christ, the judgment of God is about to come upon this nation and has already started coming upon this nation, that has nothing to do with the second coming of Christ. Even though we use these times of judgment coming upon this nation to promote the second coming of Christ, but no one knows. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Now, this is before the Spirit of God had come upon them and gave them their understanding. I was reading in John chapter 20 this morning, and they were still waiting for the restoration of Israel, the physical restoring, and the Lord Jesus to set up an earthly kingdom here. This is still in their minds, even now, when Jesus died and rose from the dead and was meeting with them. That was still on their mind, and that's what they asked him in verse 6 of chapter 1. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. So, even though it appears, and a lot of people, my wife says it all the time, and people say it all the time, because of the condition of this nation, the Lord's coming back soon. We do not know that. We do know, and you understand, it is not for us to know when He'll return. It's none of our business. We have more urgent things to concern ourselves with, like the coming judgment of God upon this nation. This wicked nation, which we know from history, from reading the Scriptures, that it's coming upon every nation that goes the way this nation has gone. God's judgment is coming. We know that. So let us cry out and plead with all concerning this judgment to come on this nation and upon every soul. On that day when they and we will stand before the holy judge of all, the day when you leave this world is when the Lord Jesus is coming, as far as we are concerned. Luke chapter 16 says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. That's a poor man. Now let me chase a rabbit just a little bit. Not through reading in Luke 16 yet. Let me chase a rabbit a little bit. Have you noticed that there's no chicken in the stores anymore except for some wings and maybe a few thighs or legs, stuff they've got left over? Because we have the bird flu, and now there's people in the United States already getting the bird flu again. Already got cases of the bird flu transmitted from chickens to humans. Birds to humans. It's hard to find a lot of things in the eggs. There's not very many eggs in the grocery store anymore. People are buying them up, what's there, by the dozens and by the cartons, the cases of them. I guess they like eggs and they're going to be out of eggs. This is only the beginning of what's coming. They are going to try to starve us to death. You better have your gardens planted. You better have food stored up, mainly in jars, because they cut off the electricity and all that stuff in the freezer is going to be ruined anyway. This is the beginning of sorrows. this nation has gone to hell. Sodomites everywhere, and they're tolerated by church people. They have their own places where they go to church now. And that everything's going to be fine, that they're just as saved as other people are. That's not what my Bible says. And all I have to go by is what the Scripture says. And we tolerate them. We tolerate every sin, every vulgar, filthy, trashy thing in this nation. We tolerate it, and preachers will not preach against it because they're afraid they're going to offend somebody. I want to offend them. Not just Sodomites, everybody. If the Word of God won't offend you because of sin, there's something wrong with you. This was a poor, poor man. So much that he lay at the gates of this rich man, desiring to be fed from the crumbs that fell from his table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It'll be that way here before long. Just keep breathing and see. I'm not a prophet. I'd just look at the Scriptures and know what happens to nations that turn the way this one is turned. Wait to see the judgment of God. All we can do is preach the gospel, and we should be. We should be preaching the judgment of God is coming upon this wicked, vile, perverted nation. Because we will not preach the truth to them the way Noah did for 120 years before the flood came. But we should be. And we cannot change them. We cannot save them, but we can certainly warn them of what's to come like Noah did. And we should be. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's just good stuff. You don't have to preach that. You just read it. And it came to pass that the rich man died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Did you ever realize that the people in hell were going to be able to see into heaven? They cannot see the fingers in front of their face. It's so dark in hell. But they can see into heaven. Isn't that something? The rich man in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? That's just good stuff. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Whether it's an actual flame burning there or not, I do not know, or if it's just the wrath of God being poured out upon his soul in hell. His body's in the grave, but he's in hell. And he's tormented in those flames. Preachers need to be preaching that to little children like Eli and Thomas and Micah. They need to hear that if you die without the Lord Jesus, you're going to lift your eyes being tormented in the flames of hell. And you're going to be able to look up and see Father Abraham and the believers in heaven and how happy they are. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." There's a price to pay, is there not? There's a price to pay for Christian people to live and go through this journey on this earth. We don't pay a price so that we can get into heaven. We pay a price because we're Christians and we're going to heaven. We pay the price. Now, I ask you, are you paying the price? Are you going to pay the price here? Are you going to pay the price hereafter? You must be born from above. You say, "Well, preacher, what good does it do to preach to them if they can't repent?" It's those that can repent that I'm preaching to. And I'm warning those who can't repent. There are different degrees in hell. Judas is at the worst degree there is, who betrayed our Lord with a kiss, one of his own people. One of his own apostles was the devil in disguise. There are different degrees in hell. "Remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." And that is for eternity. It'll never end. He will spend an eternity trying to pay for his sins that were not forgiven. Only the Lord Jesus, the blood of the Lord Jesus, can wash you white as snow. Nothing else. You cannot pay for them with all the evils that become you on this earth. Will not pay for your sins. Only the Lord Jesus. "And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." In hell. Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." And Abraham saith unto him, "They have Moses and these prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Now see, that says so much. We could spend the rest of the day and the night. This is one of those sermons that the Apostle Paul could preach to midnight and the boy fall out of the top loft of the third story and break his neck. And still keep preaching. And he said unto them, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, This is the Lord Jesus telling this about Lazarus and the rich man in Luke chapter 16. If they will not hear Moses and the prophets, in other words, the law. If they will not hear the will of God from Moses and the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all the prophets, if they will not hear, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You cannot persuade them. Does that mean we just throw up our hands and quit and don't preach no more? We don't testify. We don't go out amongst and tell our family and our friends and our neighbors and the people down at Walmart or wherever you may shop or do your deals. I wish it wasn't at Walmart. They are China-loving, sodomite-loving, baby-killing-loving bunch of people. I cannot believe Christian people still go to Amazon, the God-hating, sodomite-loving, baby-killing-loving bunch of sons of motherless goats. And Christian people shop there every day and order stuff off of Amazon to send to their homes. You ought to find out about the people you're buying stuff from. And don't spend your money there. You're supporting God-hating, sodomite-loving, baby-killing lovers. You're supporting them. Well, that was my introduction. Now let's get to the main course. Now, I wanted to go to Genesis chapter 5 and start where we left off, because that's just good stuff. Even though it's Adam begot this one, and Seth begot this one, and Enos begot this one, that's good stuff. That's just filled with good stuff. And hadn't been too long back that I was bored reading it. But after you learn about the seed and how God preserved that seed all through the generations. You know, there's been about, and that's one of the things Brother Thomas brought out in his article, was that there's only been 250 generations from the beginning of the world till now. There was only 10 generations, because people lived so long, from the beginning of the world to Noah. 10 generations. There's only been 250 generations from then till now. Doesn't seem like very long, does it, when you look at it that way? There was over 4,000 years of Old Testament before the New Testament. And there's only been 2,022 years of the New Testament of us preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ since the Lord came. Doesn't seem that long when you look at it that way, by generations. And by the time since the Lord died, and people think it's time for Him to return now. Don't spend your time worrying about such. This nation has gone to hell, and we tolerate and put up with and will not preach the judgment of God that's coming upon this nation and upon everybody that dies and goes to hell. Little Eli back there needs to hear it. Thomas, Their mama needs to have them in God's house, hearing the Word of God preached, and singing the songs and the hymns that we sang this morning, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And letting them know that if they do not repent of their sins, and they're sinners from birth, they do not repent of those and cry out to God for mercy and He saved their souls, they're going to hell, to the place where the rich man is, being tormented within those flames. It'll make a young person want to seek Him. They must seek Him. They must cry out and say, God, have mercy upon me. Call me by your grace that I might be saved. I remember as well as yesterday when I was a boy how the Lord dealt with me, called me, drew me, drug me to the cross. And I couldn't wait to read His Word, to study. I remember praying, God, let me know you like the Apostle Paul knew you. They need to know. They need to be told. This nation needs to be told. And there was only 120 in the upper room when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. I made Eli pull up on my phone while we were driving. Bluegrass Gospel Team by Sideline. It says, when the sun rose up that morning, there was no warning. And when they got to the tomb was empty. He was not there. When the sun rose up that morning, there was no warning. They need to hear that stuff. They need to hear that there's salvation, that you don't have to go to hell. You can repent of your sins and turn and cry out to the Lord Jesus to save your soul and come to Him. And I know there's all kinds of, they've learned the gospel. It's not even the gospel anymore that they preach. It's something that man does. He can save himself if he wants to. All he's got to do is make a decision for Christ. That's garbage. It's the same gospel in Genesis as it was and is in Revelation. It's the same gospel. It's always been preached the same. Seth and Enos and Adam, they knew they were looking for the Messiah then. They were waiting for the Son of God to come and save them from their sins. Die on a cross and take their place and impute His righteousness on their behalf that they might be saved. They're preaching every kind of garbage in the world these days. It's a new gospel. It's Paul's gospel. It's not even the gospel that Jesus preached. That's what some of them are preaching. I've listened to that for 2 weeks. Well, I got news for them. You believe what you want to. I'm going to believe what the Scripture says. It's the same gospel. God says, I'm God. I change not. He does not change. And let me tell you something. It's always been about obedience. It's still about obedience. That don't buy your way to heaven. You can't get in no other way than the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come by the cross. Just go read Pilgrim's Progress and see how Christian did it. He had to come to the cross to get rid of that heavy load of sin that was on his back. And then he started his journey onward toward heaven. It's just good stuff wherever you read it. In Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, God does not change. All of those sacrifices, they understood what they were about. They perverted them just like they have perverted the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was all about types and figures of the Son of God that would die in their room instead, like that sacrifice that they offered was supposed to be in their room instead. And when the priest put his hands on the goat's head and called out the sins of the people of Israel and sent him away, he was a sin bearer. It was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ showing them what the Son of God would do for them in their room instead. The gospel has never changed. It's always been the same. Churches pervert it, so-called churches, because they can't wait for the Spirit of God to save people by their sins, from their sins, call them by their names, and wait until He does it. They got to have church members so they can get more money in the plate. They can pack their places out. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. Oh, I got a clock right here, idiot. I keep looking at that thing back there like it's right. The Lord Jesus is to be exalted everywhere we go. Be bold and don't be quiet. I kept my mouth shut one time this week when I was listening to a garbage coming from a fellow's mouth. I did tell him later, but while we were in front of other people, I just let him run on. The fellow he was talking to, I think, understood. Therefore, Acts 2 and 33. Acts 2 is good. I don't care if the Pentecostals did take it out of context and blow it out of proportion and misunderstood it. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. They were amazed. The Jews and the people around were amazed that these dumb country bumpkins, fishermen, that had no formal education, could speak in so many different languages the glory of God. It was just amazing. And in verse 36 it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. The devil thought he had one. He thought he had accomplished something when they nailed Jesus to the cross and crucified him, not realizing that he was driving the nails in his own coffin. I love to go in Revelation and read about where Christ throws him into the bottomless pit and chains him there. And we have to deal with temptation and sin and this old nature that still dwells in our bodies. We have to fight against it every day. We have to repent because of it every day. We have to ask forgiveness on our knees before the throne of grace every day because of that old nature in us. But it sure is refreshing to know that one day that old devil's going to be cast into the eternal lake of fire and chained there, and will never be loosed. And we'll never be tempted again. We'll never sin again. We'll be like Adam was before he sinned, except there will be no sin ever again. There will be no sorrow. There will be no more of my granny or Gina's mama not knowing where she is when she wakes up. Where am I? She'll say. You at home, Granny. One day she'll be at home. One day we'll be at home. And then on over in Acts chapter 4, it says, this is the stone, talking about the Lord Jesus. He is always to be, he's exalted in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, everywhere you go. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, and which has become the head of the corner, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the stone that was prophesied that would be a stumbling block to you Jews. And so he was. In Psalm 89 and 19 it says, then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. The Son of God, incarnate, the mediator between God and man. Or we would have no way to come to God. The true believers in the Old Testament were longing for the Messiah to come because they knew that Him coming and Him bearing, He's the sin bearer, Him bearing their sins gave them access before the throne of grace. And they had it then. It was as though He were slain before the foundation of the world. It was a done deal. That's the reason it upsets me so much when I hear people say that God needed something. God needed a man. And God needed this. And God needed that. I finally confronted the situation and I said, Your God might need something, but my God is almighty. He created everything that was, and before in eternity past, He decreed everything that was going to happen, every breath that would be drawn, every atom that would be split, every raindrop that would fall, every sparrow that would fall, every hand come out of my head. He decreed it before in eternity past. And He's never done another thing. He don't have to. He's God. And He don't need anybody for anything. He's already done all that He's ever going to do. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. The Lord Jesus. That's why they killed Him. He made Himself God. To them, He was calling Himself God. That, they understood that when He said that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I'm going to judge you one day. You'll stand before me. Every human that's ever been born of a woman will stand before me one day. And I'll judge you by your deeds. Isn't that something? Well, my time is up. We could just keep going. We could preach this from now on. The exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to go read in John chapter 20 some. I'm not going to have time today. I'll read one more scripture here in Ephesians 1. Which He wrought in Him, in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, the fellow that I have so much trouble with said, well, then we can just throw up our hands and quit. We don't have to do anything. God's already decreed everything, and he's decreed it all before the eternity passed, in eternity passed, so we don't have to do a thing. God's got it all took care of. We can just sit back and do nothing. I said, well, if you're an idiot, you might believe that, but that's not what the Scripture says. We all, being part of the body of Christ, some of us is the hand, some of us is the foot, some of us is the eye, some of us is the ear, some of us the head, some of us part of the body, fingers, toes, we all have a part. And we will fulfill our parts. There will be some that gets in, the Bible says, by the skin of their teeth. But they'll get in. Because the teeth are part of the body too. They'll get in. Their reward may be slack to none. But that'll only be during the 1,000-year millennial reign. After that, we're all the same. We're all in heaven. We all glory. We all bow before him. Whew, over there in John 20 and Revelation, I love to read where everybody will bow. Everybody will bow before him at his feet. And all believers will cast their crown, if they have one, they will cast their crown at his feet and say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm the least of the saints. I'm the chiefest of sinners. And I'm not worthy to be called an apostle of Christ. Let us draw up our strings. Tighten up our belts and get busy about the Father's work, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere we go. We'll close with that and come to the Lord's table.